All right, folks, welcome back to my podcast, Here's the Pitch with Mike Techno. Today, I am joined by a special guest, my friend Allie from Video Class. And so today, we are going to be talking about the 2019 hit film, blockbuster, The Perfect Date, starring Noah Santantarino and Laura Morano from Austin and Allie on the Disney Channel. This was a weird movie, to say the least. We're going to do things a little different. I know the last format of the podcast was I did a review and then I did my sequel idea. But for when I do rewrites, I'm basically going to go through the plot and then change things up. So it'll still probably be around the same length because there's more to talk about. But it's just going to be kind of a different format. There's not going to be that split between the review and the new version. I'm very excited about this because I texted you last night and I said, hey, do you want to record this podcast in video today about a dumb Netflix movie? And you were like, I'm in because I'm pulling an all-nighter. You didn't even make it through the movie last night.
I didn't even make it through 12 o'clock.
You didn't make it till 12. I'm pulling an all-nighter. Falls asleep at 9:30 on the dot.
Listen, I was doing...
art. Yeah. She yeah. can't... Yeah. But, yeah, it was funny. And so I watched this movie last night.
It was you got through it.
I got through it. You got through it today.
So I got through it during psychology.
Exactly. So I'm not exactly... I'm not too worried.
It's still fresh in my mind.
I want to talk about what the director has done, because that's a really interesting part of this whole thing. So the director, his name is Chris Nelson, and these are his two big directing credits that I found on IMDb. A movie called Ass Backwards, and it's like, I didn't look what it was about, because I feel like that enough just tells you what kind of ride we're in for, and then some episodes of the hit awesomeness TV show, My Dead Ex, which is apparently about a zombie woman or man coming back to life to go on dates, so there's that. And then,
so that just sets up what this movie should have been like.
Honestly, if it was a zombie film, I feel like it would have been way more enjoyable. That's the perfect
Maybe date. I would have stayed up.
The perfect date is a skeleton woman and a boy, a cute boy, go out to the cemetery for brunch. That's what this movie should have been. No, I'm kidding. So this is an Awesomeness TV production, which is, again, another thing to tell you, what movie you're in for.
I like how you're trying to avoid using words.
It's so hard to, like, really pick apart this movie. I highly recommend everyone watch it for just a garbage time of an evening or afternoon. No one watches movies in the morning, let's be honest. So let's just jump in. This time I actually took notes while watching this movie, and it's just a lot of weird stuff that I wrote. There's some really funny things that I'll remember along the way. Allie did the same thing. So I'm gonna go through like a first little block of the plot, and then we're gonna kind of talk about it and then what we wrote down for it. Brooks Radigan, played by Noah Santantarino, is a high school senior, and he dreams of getting into Yale, and his father, Charlie, played by Matt Walsh, which is a completely underused actor, because he's really funny and able to do some really great stuff comedically, and it just does not happen, which is not
he great. Also wasn't very He wasn't present in the film. He was in it a couple times.
He didn't have that kind of presence that he should have as the character that they were trying to set him up to be. He wants him to go to UConn. He works there. He does night classes, like, whatever. Like, he used to be a writer. Now he's not.
Very doesn't famous, really matter. Accomplished.
Yeah, it doesn't exactly matter. So Noah Santantantantantantantarino works at a sub shop called Sub Sub. If you couldn't catch...
Sponsored by Subway.
Yes. And he has his best friend who wants to go into computer programming. His name is Murph, and he's gay, which is fine. The thing, my whole thing is, story-wise, it doesn't exactly fit in until the end.
Like, it also was barely touched on. Like, they hinted it at the beginning, and then they talked about it for a quick second. He makes a joke about it, and then that's it.
And then it just comes up at the end with a big feel-good ending, which was also kind of weird. It felt very rushed. One thing about that, I'm completely okay with there being a subplot about, you know, diversity, homosexuality, that kind of thing, but it just needs to be done right, and it was not at all. It was not done right at all. Also, one thing I just now picked up on was in this whole, in every scene you see where Brooks is using the app to go on dates or help people out, do these, you know, stand-ins, it's all women, which I think is a very interesting thing. Like, it is great to have that kind of subplot. You want to touch upon it because, of course, we're in an age where that kind of stuff needs to be more accepted, which I completely agree with. But you could still have Murph as a... you know, as a gay guy, you could still have that, but it's just you're missing out on another element that guys should have been involved with this app. There should have been some meetups where,
especially because it is his gay friend who basically coded the app and made it. So the fact that they were trying to even open up the idea to have a gay person in this film, and then
they just kind of shut it down.
Yeah, which they did that with a couple things.
Yeah, it's a common trend in this film with a bunch of different things. So Brooks can't get into college. He's struggling to get into it. He found an opportunity to make some extra cash, just pretending to be one of his classmates' cousins. Her name's Celia Lieberman. She lives in Greenwich, Connecticut. This takes place in Connecticut for absolutely no reason.
It was filmed in New Orleans. Very funny and ironic, though.
So it was a movie about
It was in Connecticut, though.
It was in Connecticut, and then it was filmed in New Orleans, which is great and doesn't at all seem weird because Connecticut has pretty decent movie tax breaks. But whatever.
And has even featured for some very nice places like the Mayflower Inn.
Yeah. Is this an app for the... Someone just fell above us. So this guy, he finds that he's actually pretty good at this. So then to make money, he makes this app. Murph makes this app for him. For someone who really didn't want to make this app, he was very, very good at it and very good with making different features that were not necessarily asked
for. They weren't even really touched on in the film. Like, at the end, he talks about how he was like, well, you didn't include what kind of a person you wanted or something. The only thing that the movie showed was...
like a general
idea. Do you want to go on this date or not?
Which is fine. I guess, like, the real features of the app don't matter because you kind of know it through dialogue and stuff.
And through what they show you in the film.
Yeah. It's still kind of... For someone who did not want to code this app, he really put in a lot of features and did a lot of hard work on this. He made two apps, actually. One that was just a calculator. And then another one... that was this dating app, which had a really, it was just really weird. And also, I highly, highly doubt that the writers of this movie knew anything about computer programming because the phrase C plus infrastructure or something like that, which, you know, that's not a real saying in computer programming. I take computer programming.
Well, the hour of coding was only invented when I was in seventh grade, so I can see where they're coming from.
Yeah, they didn't know anything about coding. They didn't even do a quick Google search to figure it out. They should have. Which is funny. So he finds out he's good at this. Then at the date with Celia, he meets this girl, Shelby, played by, what's her name?
Riverdale star.
Yeah, Camila Mendez. They picked probably the worst female actress on Riverdale for this movie. And it shows, because no emotion, no feeling.
You have no idea where she's really going to be going with this. They kind of showed, like, they show her dad in it.
Which is, like, just weird.
Like, they put him in, and she looks apologetic, but you don't know if she's going to be, like, that mean girl who's, like, rich, or that just, like, girl that... Like, at the end, you can kind of see who they wanted her to be, but they completely almost try to make a whole nother movie with her.
Yeah. So, a big thing I really picked up on was that happens a lot. No two scenes, the characters are not written the same. Across this entire movie, every character is written different in their subsequent scene. Literally, it could be a back-to-back scene, they could be two completely different characters. That's how this is written. It's not really well written. But it doesn't have to be. It's a dumb Netflix movie that probably cost $5 to make.
What was in New Orleans?
New Orleans. Who cares? What do they get? Well, New Orleans. What do they get? What do they have? Gumbo. Bubba Gump shrimp. That's what they got down there. Cecilia lies to Shelby and says that Brooks is from some town.
Darien.
Yeah, Darien. I have never been. Who cares? Instead of Bridgeport, where he lives, which, like, fine. Also, one thing that's kind of... They're just kind of saying cities, because Greenwich and Bridgeport are not close. They're really not.
Make it seem like it's like a 20-second drive, like from one to the other, and it's like not.
It's not. I'm looking it up right now. Okay, 30 minutes, not too bad.
But, like, they make it seem like it's so close. Yeah, and they don't even change, like, the time frame.
Yeah, it's pretty much all taking place.
It's like, if it's day, it's day. If it's night, it's night. It's
so weird. They go to Yale, but I doubt they probably went to Yale for that one day of shooting.
Yeah.
And then didn't. That was it. So they launched the app. I'm gonna stop there, and we're gonna talk a little bit about what we know so far, because it's kind of weird. This movie really does cement the idea that Noah Centineo is full of himself, because he's had maybe 9 Netflix movies, and they are all the same. He's not even playing characters at this point.
They're shooting the same person in
just different settings.
Yeah, with different people. Like, it's like I said before to you, it felt like the same movie I had watched before.
1,000 times. Also, Laura Murano's character, Celia, is so incredibly unlikable. It is ridiculous. She's a relentless person, and it tracks through the whole movie, except the character arc is so different.
I wanted to say something, but I didn't know if it was going to be too mean. When I first watched the trailer for this movie, I almost did not want to see this movie for the 5 seconds that her character comes in for in the trailer. Because for those 5 seconds, she comes in and she acts like a character who she is totally not meant to be.
Yeah. Again, with the writing, it's super weird.
Nothing
it's
against not, her personally, but...
It's something against the writers, personally.
But just when, like, she comes in and she, like, tries to be that girl who's like, I can do this, I can be whoever I want to be, and then... And it changes. Completely.
There's no... Consistency is thrown out the window here in terms of storytelling, because no character is written the same, not even acted the same, which I think is interesting. That comes up a lot more later on. Also, I wrote down... why is there a Dwight D. Eisenhower joke? There was a Dwight D. Eisenhower joke in the car when Noah's character, Brooks, says to Celia, hey, listen, it's my job tonight to just look out for you. And then she goes, this isn't... Dwight D. Eisenhower is not president, okay? I can take care of myself.
Like, he's not in office, so, like, you don't have to act that...
Yeah. Like, why a Dwight D. Eisenhower joke? That's dated. That was dated even when Dwight D. Eisenhower was president. And it's even more dated now. You can really tell this was written by old men.
Like someone wrote down that joke when he went into office to then use it in 2019.
Yeah. He was 20 years old when Dwight D. Eisenhower was in office and wrote the joke down. He's like, someday I'm going to make a movie about a kid who makes an app. Also, what's an app? And then... And then, also, this is going to be a great joke.
I couldn't tell how, like, what kind of audience they were looking for with this, because they went from talking about, like, hookers to talking about, like, oh, he's just escorting these, which is still kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Which I was, like, kind of confused about, because he, as a person in other movies that he's been in, Noah.
Yeah.
Has been kind of for little kids, like, audience for them, but now they're talking about hookers, so it's like, okay, we're exposing them to this now.
Again, it's another thing with the writing. It flops back and forth. It doesn't... None of the dialogue really makes sense for the movie that they tried to make, which is
fine. It's like they tried to make two movies in one movie.
Yes.
But also multiple movies in another movie.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. One thing I wrote down was... Noah doesn't look at the road that much when he drives. I'm surprised in none of these movies where he drives, because he drives in all of them, that he doesn't get into an accident, because he never looks at the road.
That's an interesting note, Mike.
Yeah, that's what I picked up on. That's the kind of thing I was looking out for. Also, very weird supporting characters that aren't written very well, that don't make sense. Again, Brooks' dad... Celia's parents are kind of weird.
Well, and Celia's parents, like mentioned before, how you were saying how they made her two different characters when she was trying to be that person who was like, I just want to express myself, like, kind of had it figured out, instead of being the person that, like, they also tried to make her be, where she didn't know who she was. Her parents were, like, almost pushing her to be a different person, and she was like, no, I want to be my own person. So when it shows them all having dinner together, it's like...
Yeah.
Completely what? Weird. And then the mom apparently has this backstory where she's like, I just didn't want it to be like my high school experience, which is like, where did that come from?
Yeah, there's a lot of different subplots that get brought up and don't really get touched on. Again, how I could say you can remove the entire Murph and Noah fighting subplot.
Completely Noah, unnecessary. You mean Brooks.
It's the same person. You can get rid apparently of that subplot. Apparently, the
same person
you
in everything.
You can get rid of the mother subplot. Like, they talk about in one scene only, oh, I tried to ship myself to Idaho to go see my mother.
Who has apparently a whole new family and, like, sends these cards.
Yeah, but
at
it also
Christmas.
Does not affect
him at all.
Him at all, really.
And it isn't even brought up any other time besides the end when the dad is like, well, your mother left us. I mean, me.
Yeah, it's weird. Let's go back in. Let's talk more about where this movie goes. So then they launch the app. It's going really well. At another party, Celia has a crush on this kid, Franklin Volley. And then they plan a fake breakup, so that, Brooks can be with Shelby and Celia can be with Franklin. Brooks is, you know, his business is going well. Murph feels neglected, but there's really no signs of that actually happening.
Until
it becomes relevant
acknowledged,
for the plot.
Yeah.
Which, it's not even relevant for the plot. They could have gotten rid of that, which is...
Or they could have done it better.
Yeah. And then Celia sets up an interview for Brooks at Yale. They go to Yale, and she gets upset when he lied to the dean about being an apiarist, which...
No, an amateur beekeeper.
No, that's an apiarist.
Well...
So, you're wrong there.
Well, technically not.
And he says, like, it's fine. It's just, like, what I've been doing with the app. Like, I'm just trying to tailor it to the person. And I wrote down bees, ? After that scene. And then Celia goes on a date with Franklin. Franklin is not someone she's clicking with. And then...
We find out more about Franklin.
Yeah, which is not relevant. Some street artist, and she talked about it.
But like she's not okay with it.
It's weird. It doesn't matter. They do their fake breakup. He uses some real shady stuff here. He brings up some really personal things about her that she told him in confidence.
But they're kind of not really too personal.
It's just kind
of
weird.
But it is. It's like, yeah. I can see what they were trying to do.
It meant a lot for her. Yeah. But, of course, weird. So right now we're just going to take a quick little break and let you guys hear about our sponsor, Anchor. All right. Welcome back, everyone. So let's just jump right back in. Let's kind of think of where we were. So Noah says some mean things to Laura Morano, and she slaps him, and it hurts. And then Brooks doesn't realize that she got actually hurt by that, so then that's kind of the conflict that we drum up there. Another thing about conflict in this movie, it'll come up and completely get dissolved by the next scene.
Or it's just like, it seems like it's a big deal, and then it's immediately like acted like it's nothing.
Yeah. One thing I want to say real quick. At Shelby's party in the film, there was a really weird, awkward bro hug. I don't know if you picked up on it. It was some of the B-roll. I picked up on it, and it was very distracting. Also, Brooks is really dumb in real-world situations, to the point where it doesn't make sense why he even had a shot at going to Yale. Still don't know why he's going to Yale, because that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, didn't really say it. He admitted at the end, he was like, oh yeah, I have no dream and just always wanted to go to Yale. Like, all right.
Which is a dumb dream to have. Well, like, this is also not how kids are. Kids either know what they want to do and go to the college that they need to, or don't know what they want to do and then figure it out before they apply.
Yeah, like, it almost seemed like he was just going to Yale to just say, oh yeah, I went to Yale.
Exactly. Also, there's a really great Vanilla Ice reference that only I would get, and I got it, and I was very proud of that. An old man wrote this, definitely. Also, Noah has his contacts in all caps, and that bothered me a lot. The Yale dean was having some sort of crisis, because he was like, all right, just tell me something about you. Kids need to have fun. Tell me about what you do to have fun. It was like he was looking back on his wonder years and just utterly depressed.
I also feel like this movie could be very misleading for people who do want to go to Yale. You know, like...
Exactly.
Like, you work so hard to get into this school and you get the grades, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, they just wanted you to have fun, apparently. So that was all just wasted.
Yeah, it's so weird. I don't get it. one thing I wrote was there's too much bee and insect talk in this movie.
Dung beetle.
Dung beetle, bee, a lot. And also...
where the kid, mated and breeded those other insects.
Yeah. There's a lot of bee subplot.
is that where you wrote bees question mark?
Yeah, that is where I wrote bees question mark. So this is kind of where Noah's whole life falls apart. Shelby and Brooks end up going to school formal, and they can't hold a conversation because they're terrible. Before this scene where they go on the date, you get this kind of off-putting scene between Noah and this sweet old woman, just kind of walking down the street, which...
And she's talking about her late husband who had just died.
Which, good to bring that kind of human relief in there, but doesn't exactly fit. It was a big jump. I could have seen that. That could have been... they literally could have just stole a scene from The Help, and I would not have... I would not have known the difference.
That's what I mean when I say that I feel like I've watched this film. All of this has been
done before.
But I've, like, seen it multiple times. I was able to point out multiple times throughout this entire movie a different message.
Yeah.
it's just, there's so much relying on these stubborn, flat characters that are two-dimensional. It's also really hung up on stereotypes of just people. Like, this could have been a successful movie early 2000s, and it could have worked. It could have gone straight to the theater. It could have been a good film. The writers really forced the flirting with Noah and Laura's characters. You really see that, and it's really obvious. And they also don't even act it well. Like, they should not end up together. You really don't get that chemistry that they should have.
That old woman goes on and on and on about how, like, you should have a conversation. Like, you know, exactly. They're the one for you when you sit and have a conversation, which then ties into where Shelby and...
Shelby and Brooks don't
work out. Brooks couldn't work out.
Fine, whatever, it works. I loved the Outback Steakhouse appetizer joke, because it goes... Apps. You mean like appetizers at Outback Steakhouse, like a Bloomin' Onion? I love those things. And he goes, no, a phone app. I do love those Outback Steakhouse apps. Like, it's an ad for Outback Steakhouse. What if this was like the movie Mac and Me?
Wait, so they can like throw a little like thing to Outback Steakhouse, but they can't use Subway?
Yeah. That makes sense. That makes a little bit more sense. Because when you're just talking about it, you can kind of talk about it. But when you kind of are acting in that scene, it doesn't make sense. It's terrible. There's just really common story beats that don't fit. They don't work.
Like said multiple times, there are so many movies in this one movie.
Yeah. I'm going to kind of, I just want to finish up the plot and then we can kind of talk bit more. So at the formal, Brooks sees a girl that uses app, who then tells Shelby about the app, and she gets really overly offended and disgusted by it for... They even write, no apparent or logical reason. True. And then Shelby finds out that he lied about where he came from, which he didn't lie about. Celia did.
Yeah. And she was still offended by that.
Which is so dumb. Yeah, and then she leaves, whatever. Brooks tries to talk to Celia and says, no, man, I'm not going to be your second choice, which is completely fine. He goes home, talks to his dad, and he opens up to his dad about what's happening. You can get rid of the scene. His dad gets a writing grant. Doesn't need it. You can get rid of the scene.
There's no importance of it.
No real importance. Because that has no effect on the plot.
Yeah.
A lot of scenes in this are like that. He accepts Yukon's offer because he wants to just be himself. He gets friendly with Murph again. He writes a letter to Celia where he realized that who he really was with her. And he wants to be with her. And then Celia... uses the app, which I thought was kind of a cool way to use a plot device. Uses the app to get his attention, which I thought was cute, and I thought it was a really, really good usage of the app.
But he got her attention, which I kind of liked, was through the college acceptance.
Yeah, line. That was kind of a cool thing. And then, you know, they get together, and one thing that was kind of weird was Murph doesn't know... his boyfriend's name, but it never comes up, so it's just a thing that's there for extra dialogue. So then Murph is also going to UConn, they're going to board together, which also I wrote down, why go to UConn for app development? That is not the right place to go. It's an ad for UConn, it's an ad for Outback Steakhouse. And then they dance, and they kiss, and it's all goody-goody.
And then it's literally that.
And that's it. Fine. Okay, so let's just kind of talk a little bit more about it. So, Celia expected a lot out of Brooks that she should not have expected from him. That's kind of a big thing you see in these movies, is that the girls expect things from... these other characters that they shouldn't expect. because they have absolutely no... That's not a realistic expectation to have, which is kind of not okay. It shouldn't be
in these movies. Movies are very exaggerated.
Yeah, they are exaggerated, but it's still even to the point of this is not...
I see where you're coming from, but like you also have to remember that, you know, the movie is there to be kind of like fake and to let you kind of watch something that wouldn't typically happen. It's why you always say like, oh my God, I feel like we're in a movie or something.
Yeah, but everything's at least so keep perfect. It realistic.
And when it's you're never trying to make a movie that's trying to be a realistic kind of thing...
It's not. It didn't work here. There's been applications of... trying to bring realistic elements into these films that have worked. These I heard To All the Boys I've Loved Before, that was a solid film. I heard that did really well. It was a great cast, good writing. Another Noah Santantantantantorino
film. I saw it. I liked it. I thought it was actually quite good.
Yeah, because the source material was good and the writers were good. So, but that was another thing where they tried to bring in realistic expectations. And it works, but this isn't. This does not have that whatsoever, which it should. No character is the same back to back. One thing I will say, this film is very anti-gigolo, which I think in 2019 is not acceptable. Because really, the message of this is just acceptance of who you are and acceptance of others. And it's totally anti, it's totally anti-message. Shelby and Franklin's character arcs don't work. They don't match what they should have been. Like, because Shelby is a different character in the beginning than she is in the end. Franklin is a different character in the beginning than he is in the end. His is a little closer. Hers is very different. Which I thought was just not okay. It doesn't work.
Also, they kind of make it seem like that they wanted Celia to... dislike Shelby, but have nothing against each other. Yeah. Like she even brings in, she's like, oh, why would you go for Shelby? Like, she just starts kind of saying stuff like that when they're eating ice cream. And he's just like...
I like her.
I like her.
There's nothing... Nothing makes sense.
But then they also have nothing against each other, but they seem like that they should.
Yeah, it's a lot of forced stuff that doesn't pan out. It's forced. The character arc for Brooks and Celia don't make sense because it's not gradual. It's very choppy, sudden scenes that
kind of... You get that especially with Celia.
You get that really with her. She goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Like, one moment she's just this person who's like, I don't need anybody, I'm going to be myself, and I don't care who has anything against that. And then the next second, she's like, I have no idea who I'm going to be, I just try to act like a certain person that I'm not. But
yeah,
it's like... Which,
if it was utilized in a different way, works. It was just that the scenes that it did relate to don't fit.
Like, it's a good idea, but it's... not portrayed very
exactly. Well, like, it's, at all in this it was movie. Good on paper, but just not it didn't work out. It wasn't panned out well.
Right.
Completely scrap the Brooks and Murph fighting character arc. Get rid of
it. I have
it doesn't so much work against to that. The plot. It does not work.
But it could have. That's the thing, though. Like, it could have totally worked in the plot. However, I have a huge problem with this because... obviously, it is shown multiple times when they go out to dinner all together. And
that they're okay. When,
but then afterwards, and he's like, you know, just take the date. Like, it's fine. It's whatever. I don't care. You can tell he's hurt. But then at the end, he's like telling him, like, you know what? Go away. I don't like you. Even says, like, when he changes his hours, he's like, you know what? I hate you. You're selfish. But then at the end, he says, like, one word, like, I'm sorry. How's your guy doing? And he's like, oh, like, it's fine.
Yeah, it's... It doesn't work. The weird joke about getting bit by the German guy at the zombie puzzle thing, unnecessary. It's a thing. It's random does not equal funny. And that's also a big
your
trend.
Arm shouldn't look like that when you get bit by...
It was a rough bite.
Uh-huh.
It looked like it should have been in a Walking Dead scene.
Well, that's why he does ask. He goes, "Wait, is that a zombie bite?"
The makeup budget for this film was through the roof, and in order to keep that up, they did need to go full zombie arm prosthetic. Because even Brooks was a little thrown off by it at first. He's like, "What, a zombie bit you?" Like, because there was a zombie breakout room, whatever, and. And he goes, escape room, yeah. It was one of those German guys.
Like, he was like, one of the drunk Germans bit me. And I was like, all right.
Also, very anti-German. Very anti-Dwight D. Eisenhower. Very anti-Vanilla Ice, which was unappreciated in his time. And we need to bring Vanilla Ice back.
We this is the message that we're trying to bring back.
That's what this was.
That was the message. So message number six.
This is a satire on anti-Vanilla Ice, anti-Dwight D. Eisenhower,
anti-German.
Anti-German. No, I know what I was talking about. That's what it is. It's satire. That's all this is. This isn't supposed to be good. This is supposed to be terrible. That's what I've learned so far from this film. This was not meant to be a real movie. This was, you know what this is? This is like in The Matrix when things don't work out the way that they are supposed to. That's what this was. This movie was actually supposed to be something else, and it did not work. One thing I will note, the person who, this is based on a book called The Stand-In. It was written, or this screenplay was written by that man. And another dude. And I think that really hurts this. Sometimes writers can adapt their works in the right way. I don't think he did. I think this writing was really choppy. It did not work. I am guessing that if you were to read this script, it would be maybe a 120, 140 page script because it would be written like a book. One of the first rules in script adaptations is do not copy page by page from the source material. What you're supposed to do, this is kind of how I do it, but I think this is the same rule of thought. You break it down by scenes or sections. You hit on the key plot points, key characters, and, like, the settings and what's supposed to happen, generally. Then you form the scene around that. You don't just copy it word for word because it doesn't work. It doesn't adapt. And I think this is a real example of that, about how an adaptation is just unrealistic. It doesn't work. It's not written well enough. Maybe the source material is great. I haven't read it. If any of you guys out there have... leave a comment on something. I think I'll get them through Anchor. But yeah, it just doesn't really work. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I just kind of wanted to add in how I felt like, going back to saying how I feel like I've watched this before, and it also connects to you saying how it was like based on the book, basically. A long time ago, was on YouTube and I was watching a bunch of these animations, and one of them was about this girl who kept going online and ordering the perfect guy by using a one word. It would be like nerdy, it would be confident, it would be something, and this movie just literally reenacted that because it was like every time she ordered it, like that guy came in, and I just felt like when he was like becoming these people, he was only going off of one word. Which you can't get the perfect date out of a one word.
Well, it's funny you say that. That's what we're led to believe. But apparently there is a huge list of things that you fill out, check marks on this app, which only get brought up at certain parts. They don't get brought up at the right parts. You should talk about how the app works right from the beginning, but it doesn't. And then at the end, it says, oh, so you didn't check out any of these boxes, like you didn't say what you want, which doesn't come up at all. It should, but it does not.
I also wanted to touch on the mother.
Oh, yeah, sure. This is another weird storyline that doesn't work. I think it might, it must be more fleshed out in the book.
Which is why they wanted to include it. I feel like that's why we feel like a lot of these things are so rushed, is because they wanted them in so badly. They just did a terrible job of executing that. And you can really see that through certain points, like the mother, which is probably very important in the book because it seems like it's important and it seems like it should have affected him in a certain way, but completely didn't. He seems fine.
Yeah.
They make jokes about it and stuff. Meaning, like, they bring up, in a joking way, how he wanted to be
shipped off to Idaho.
But they joke about it, and they're, like, laughing about it. But then he goes away, and his friend talks about it.
Really serious moment. Yeah. It doesn't really make sense for me. So this is another interesting thing. I looked up the book, and apparently Brooks is not a smart guy in the book. He needed cash to hire a tutor to get into Columbia University. And this book is a big thing about morality. Looking it up, it is 360 pages. This writer did not know how to adapt a 360-page book. That was his. So he really did want to save everything into a movie. And it shows. Another weird thing is that it came out in October 2017, and then it must have immediately been bought by Netflix and turned into a movie for an April 12 release. Because it started filming March 2018. So 6 months after the book was written, they had a screenplay, they had all their pre-production done, and started production. That's not really okay. But I do assume that based with their shooting schedule, the reason why it is filmed in New Orleans is because in March it was snowing in Connecticut.
But would have been realistic.
It would have been realistic. I would have loved that. But
it doesn't sitting really, outside and then you see Noah walking down the street.
And
I would have loved
the
that.
The weird thing is, this is a screenwriter. A screenwriter wrote this book. He's written a decent amount of films. And then this is just something that does not work. It doesn't work at all. I don't understand it. You would think that someone... He's been in this since maybe 90-something. He's done screenwriting. And it just... You would think he would know anything about story. You would think he would know. So I'm just going to bring up some of the things he's written. His first big movie. So there's actually a few big movies that this man has done. He did The Sure Thing, Like Father, Like Son, James and the Giant Peach, Jack Frost. And
that
then he
kind
of leveled off.
Classic
and
for
then
people.
He came back in 2019, which is kind of interesting.
Plot twist, this movie is him.
Plot twist, he did this.
Mm-hmm.
In the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He did this.
That's where the jokes
come. That's what I was saying.
In.
I was like, that's why Dwight Diaz moved. Yeah, so all in all, this movie is kind of a mess. It's not really assembled in the right way. Hopefully, we provided some cool different ways to treat this movie. The concept is really cool. I like the concept. I think it was executed so incredibly poorly because instead of it being like a snowball effect or an avalanche of, conflict, it isn't. It's just something that happens one after the other, which is not exactly how it should work. I'm guessing that in the story, Murph and him had a disagreement, then, you know, there was some story, then something bad happened with Celia.
You can always do more with a book than you can a movie, but when you go and if you want
to
a
adapt
movie,
it
yeah,
properly,
if you want the movie to then show these important parts, you should
take the time.
Really take the time to think about how the movie would be executed.
This did not seem like it was taken.
They seem like that they just wanted something so
badly.
They
just pushed it out.
Yeah, they really did.
Netflix and Awesomeness TV make so much money off of these Nora Santantarino's films. Nora Santantarino. They make so much money off of it that it doesn't matter. Literally. It doesn't matter what the product is. It doesn't matter how it gets pushed out. As long as Nana Santantarone is in it, that's all that matters.
He's in Sierra Burgess is a Loser. He's in this. He's in... All the Boys I've Loved
He's before. In other garbage films as FPS...
SPF 18.
SPF 18. Sarah Bargaris is a Loser. He's in the new Charlie's Angels? Oh, no. I wanted that to be good, but I don't know if it will now.
Well, apparently there's two All the Boys I Loved Before. Two that comes out next year. Yeah, well, that was next known. Year. I knew
that was announced. Oh, wait, no. Elizabeth Banks is during... No, Kristen Stewart's in it. Naomi Scott, who was in Aladdin.
Kristen Stewart's coming back?
I didn't know she left. What? He was... Hold on. This is weird. He was in 3 episodes of Austin and Ally.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He was in an episode of Shake It Up. He was in an episode of Jesse. He was in an episode of The he had a main role in The Fosters.
Well, he replaced someone in The Fosters, that's why.
He was in an uncredited cameo in an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Oh, and then was in a show called Good Trouble that was a spinoff of The Fosters. And that, his name is Jesus?
Jesus.
Jesus?
Jesus.
Jesus?
Jesus.
Nantantantorino was Jesus?
Jesus.
What if it is just Jesus? What if this is how Jesus was reborn? Noah Santantarino.
Why do you think he's in like every Netflix?
How do you think he climbs so high so quickly? He's got God on his shoulder. Oh my God. Just imagine a mockumentary starring Noah Centineo about how he's actually Jesus and God is helping out from upstairs. It's like, oh, you want to be in the new Netflix movie, SPF 18? You want to be friends with Keanu Reeves? Here you go. Keanu Reeves was in that movie. I want to talk about that movie. It is terrible. It is a quick hour and 10 minutes. And I want to talk about it. I'll talk about that at another time. So, we're going to do a rating. I'm going to give this a 4 out of 10 overall.
4 out of 10? We're doing it out of 10?
I'm going to do it out of 10. I've realized that doing it out of 5 for specific stuff is stupid. So now I'm just going to do it out of 10 for the whole thing. I'm going 4 out of 10. But I have to say, if you go in expecting garbage, you're going to get what you expect. But it is kind of... Like, you can waste your time on it and not feel like you regretted it. It's not... You know, 4.5 out of 10.
I feel like if I watch this movie without the mindset of how can I point out everything wrong with this movie, without going in with that mindset, I feel like I could have, like, watched it and had, like, an okay vibe about it. Just be like, yeah you kind of get what you expect if you're going into watching typical...
Noah Santantarino.
But I feel like if you go in to watch it kind of to see him, you got what you got. You but if you wanted. If you want to watch it to watch and enjoy it, this go watch a different movie.
If you want something that you're going to like seeing, this is not the film for you.
Don't watch this movie.
Then again, this is just our opinions.
We could that be is very true. Wrong. But so, like we also went in to trash this movie.
We... Not necessarily.
Okay, well, we had 2 different mindsets
going in. I did Detective Pikachu, and I did not set out to trash that movie. I loved that film. And, you know what? I guess maybe I am looking to trash movies. Because next week, I will be talking about the 2019 Disney remake of Aladdin, directed by Madonna's ex-husband, Guy Ritchie. That is a real fact.
It was directed by Madonna's ex-husband, and the only big budget film he had done before Aladdin was The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which I enjoyed, but was not really great. So it's kind of...
Are you going to do the same thing that you did this time? Or are you
going to... I am going to do a remake. Mm.
Absolutely. Because there's no way to sequel that film. Because it's so weird. And I've seen it once. I don't know how I feel about it. I have to watch it again. Because it's kind of a weird assembly of story. And, yeah, so that, you know, closes out our podcast. Thank you so much for coming on, Allie. I really appreciated it.
I had a blast.
I think this is kind of an interesting jump from what I did for the last episode where I just talked by myself. And you know what? I think I'm going to have a mix of people coming on and also me just talking about it by myself.
Then I feel honored being your first guest.
Yeah. I also think that what I'm going to do is... I'm going to try and alternate between an older film and a newer film. Because, like, I did Detective Pikachu for last week's.
Right.
And I did this one, which is kind of an older one. And then I'm doing Aladdin, which is a newer
one.
This
is semi.
I also really want to talk about the live-action Scooby-Doo film. But I don't know what I would want to do. I think I would end up doing a remake just because I have nothing else. But I really do love that movie, and I'm very excited to talk about that.
I know
so
you love that movie.
That's kind of where it's looking for schedule-wise. It may change because some movie may come out that I just absolutely have to talk about. So I'm really excited. I also want to do some commentary tracks for films where I just get some people together and we make fun of movies.
Which is what we do anyway.
Which we make fun of movies anyway, but you know, we're just doing it in a more professional setting.
with a microphone.
With a microphone. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you, Allie, for coming on.
No problem. Thank you
to Anchor for sponsoring this podcast and making it possible. Right now, we are pretty much on all podcasting platforms. So if you're Apple Podcasts, there you go. It's on Apple Podcasts. If you're a Spotify guy, you're on Spotify. If it's Google Podcasts, there you go. Pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast, it is released. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you'll come back next time to hear me talk about Aladdin. This has been Here's the Pitch with Mike Techno.